You are listening to
TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, saving kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health, including addiction. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give us a call at 718-758-0400. All calls are kept strictly confidential. Again, I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, someone you sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm very happy to have on with us, not only is she a colleague, but a dear friend to me and to everyone in Klal Yisrael, always with the biggest smile and always available to help the Klal, and that is Geli Asofsky. I'd like to welcome you on tonight. How are you, Geli?
Hi, Ruchama. I'm doing well, Baruch Hashem. So glad to be here and always happy to do a radio show with you.
Well, thank you for coming on. Geli Asofsky is a Yiddish-speaking child and family therapist for over 20 years, and she has a specialty in trauma. She's a registered play therapist supervisor, EMDR certified therapist, and an MGR consultant. Geli does many courses for parents. She shares her practical tools to create a healthy and happy home. Geli, let's get right to it. What do you do when your child refuses to talk about school? We're getting a lot of calls about that, where children are refusing to go to school. And there are children that when they come home, they don't want to talk about what goes on in school.
You know, Ruchama, this is a tough one. And it's a tough one for parents and for therapists as well. Initially, I tell people when parents consult with me to try and make a date with your child. You know, sometimes we're so busy and you want your child to go with the flow, right? Hi, how are you? How was your day? Let's have supper, do your homework. And when the child is not forthcoming and then votes with their feet and won't go to school or is giving you attitude about school, it's very hard when parents get confrontational with children. You know, you need to go to school. So one of the things I really suggest is just saying, you know what? Let's go out for pizza. Let's get one of those, you know, I don't know, whatever it is that speaks to the child. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but just take an hour with your child and go out. And sometimes when they're eating their favorite food or they're going for a nice walk around the park or they're playing a game of Scrabble or Othello with you, they soften. And when they soften, it's much easier for things to just come out of their mouths. They'll blurt it out, okay? With complicated issues like school refusal, sometimes it's okay to negotiate and navigate with a child and say, you know what? I'll give you a day off. I'll take off a day if you could, right? Or if you're an at-home mother, I'll let you stay home, or you can hang out at Bobby's house. I'll give you a little leeway because something seems to be going on, even though you're not telling me what it is, but I see it with my own eyes. And that way you come with an attitude of connection, of nurturing your child and trying to understand what is actually going on. When a child's defenses aren't so tight, they're more likely to let you in their lives and tell you what's actually going on.
Well, Kelly, there are children that just are a little bit more shy in school and may have their own issues with social issues, making friends, and scared of, you know, sharing too much about how they're feeling. They don't want to be different. I mean, there are kids that keep secrets. What do you want to do then? What do you recommend?
Right. So with kids who keep secrets, I would defer again to what I said. You want to make sure that you foster a connection. And I always love what people started doing a while ago, that 10 minutes a day with each child. We used to call it quality time. We still do. But, you know, sometimes it's like, here's your quality time. Take it or leave it, right? And then all of a sudden, you have to get undressed. Otherwise, you're not having quality time. We have to find a way through to the child. We have to let the child feel like they can relax their defenses. Now, when a child is shy in school and has social issues, one of the things a parent can do is create dates. You know, it's funny to think about it that way. But sometimes a shy child really needs the mother to facilitate a date with a friend or with a potential friend. And if the child's saying, well, I don't know anyone, it would behoove the parent to call the teacher and say, who in the classroom would be a good fit for us to have a play date with to try and encourage socialization? Another thing is to speak to the teacher and see if there's something that the child can be pumped up with in school that would give her, you know, an important status where people would want to do a project with her or him, or do an after school project, or sit next to that girl or boy at lunch. We can involve, teachers want to help. Principals want to help. Even when there's so much going on in the school system, I find that most teachers and principals, if approached with an attitude of how can we work together, are really willing to try and see how to fix things in school.
Yeah, schools are different today than when I started MASS 27 years ago.
Yes.
And parents, we are taught differently than when we did 27 years ago. Today's parents, we never had a day off from school. We were never given that choice. But you're right. They are suggesting that you make special time with each kid. And sometimes if you see something going on and a child is struggling, that could be a way to reconnect and do something fun with them. Very important. Yeah. So what about, you mentioned that a mom or a dad could say, I see something's going on and you're having a hard time suddenly falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the same principle will apply throughout, but the concept of, I want to be very clear, like you said, the olden times were the olden times. The children of today, like it or not, they just don't have the same feeling like I need to tell my parents what's going on, or I need to go to school every day. it's almost like they can't handle the level of stress that the older generation was able to tolerate, for good or bad, right? So what we need to help a child understand when they're saying they can't fall asleep is, Shafala, like you said, what's going on? And a child will say nothing, is not to push too much. But what we could do in our brains is to say, okay, if it's one night, all right, they ate too much junk, they were riled up from playing, they had a test, something happened in school, we can treat it like, okay, well, you need to go to sleep. You know, mommy could sit at your bed for a few more minutes. You can have a few more minutes to read, but you got to go to sleep. But what if it's 3-4 nights, it's a week, it's 2 weeks, and a child is simply giving you a problem? This is what I call red flags. When your child is acting in their regular norm and there's a blip every so often, yeah, what's going on? Do you need another few minutes? You had a hard day. When it's a week or two or three, you really want to start playing detective. You want to call the school. You want to call the teachers. You want to, you know, hang out and see who they're playing with, what they're talking, right? A lot of children, when they play, they're playing out the stories of their lives. And you'll see it while they're building their Lego or their Playmobil or whether they're doing dollhouse or whether preteens are hanging out and talking on the phone. You're going to hear certain themes come through, and then you could become a little smarter. But we really want to take them seriously. And I know I'm a mental health professional, but I always say, when you see this kind of thing, go to your doctor. Our doctors are our biggest friends and advocates here. Run some blood work if your child is listless or not sleeping well or constantly complaining of headaches, or they're just acting off. So many times, you know, there's a big, much bigger awareness now about pandas with strep that create strep infections that can create behavioral, neurological, psychological changes. There's much greater awareness about
abuse,
right? They're not falling asleep. Why are they not falling asleep? Unfortunately, I spend, you know, people ask me, how do I do it? I hear stories about abuse, about divorced families, about crazy situations in schools. And I always say, if I'm part of the solution, it hits me differently. So you want to be really, really careful. Abuse happens in schools. Abuse happens in the most beautiful homes. Abuse happens in the most unusual environments, in shul, in school. I know I spoke to you, this is going back such a long time ago, but I think I spoke to you about my husband's a Baal Tokeya, and my grandson needed the bathroom in the middle of blowing shofar. My husband stopped blowing shofar and he took him to the bathroom while the whole shul waited. This year, he's a little older. Wow. He's almost 6. And my husband, before shofar, he said to him, do you need the bathroom? Because I want to take you before shofar. Otherwise, sweetie, we're going to wait. You know, this is what Zaidi does. And so by the Shmon Esrei, he tagged on my husband's leg and he said, I need the bathroom. My husband and I are so aware about abuse. My husband stepped out of Shmon Esrei and went and took him to the bathroom, because no child should ever go to the bathroom unaccompanied in a shul. Came back and restarted Shmon Esrei. I state this publicly because abuse is something that is insidious. Children, you know, we already know the red flags. Never close the door with an adult on your own. Never go to a bathroom alone. Never go to a mikvah alone. Children should never be behind closed doors. Sleepovers,
with a stranger.
Advised. Stranger danger. You know, my grandson's super friendly. His school taught him to say muchas gracias to the Spanish workers who serve lunch, which is lovely. But he went into our grocery. We're very close to our grandkids. It's not like their parents aren't involved. But we love helping them out. And so I had to really teach him. You can't say muchas gracias to every Spanish worker in the grocery store. You can high five people wherever you want. And he really couldn't understand. And we these are the things, it's our obligation to teach our kids, right? And then if we're talking about abuse,
absolutely,
inappropriate touching, inappropriate behavior, inappropriate interactions between siblings, eyes open, be aware. Look out for the red flags. Don't be afraid to see with your eyes open. The worst thing is, it's something and you need to get help, and Mask is here to help guide you. Otherwise, you worry for a little bit and then you straighten it out and you're good to go. All right. Someone from the neighborhood called me yesterday with a very weird, unusual situation. I gave them guidance and I said, this is a real red flag. You have to investigate this more. If it's nothing, but don't send your kid to ABCD and ignore red flags, even in your own home. And I'm stressing that again. Even in your own home.
Thank you. I want to bring that up, Kelly. Very important. You say stranger danger. Today, we don't only limit it stranger danger because we know how many clients of mine and yours that have gotten molested, touched inappropriately by family members.
Yeah.
Shabbos afternoon, your guest over, you go to sleep, kids are playing, and things happen. I mean, people that you know, brothers, sisters, friends, siblings, whatever.
Babysitters.
It's happened.
Mothers, helpers.
Babysitters.
Neighbors.
Yes.
Rabbis.
Yeah, neighbors, kids. Yep.
We don't want to scare people. We just, you know, this is so important. It's just the idea of what do you do? This is where we started. What do you do when this happens? What do you do when that happens? Obviously, this is a radio show. You need guidance. You need to have your eyes open, and then you need to have guidance. And like I said, Mask is always there to help.
Thank you. So let's talk about schools are very involved now. Like you said, teachers want to help. Schools want to help. Yes. In the olden days, schools were not as involved. Today, they are very involved. There are therapists in almost every school today. But what happens when, you know, what do you see happening? I know what we see at Math. What do you see happening? A child says they're being bullied, but the school says otherwise.
You know, it's a very tough thing, Rahama, because I see this all the time. There's no easy answer. And, you know, we'd like to believe that children aren't lying. You know, that's my basic principle, is children are always telling the truth, or they're fixing the truth because they need help, right? But no child inherently wants to lie. If a child feels like they're being bullied, there's something that's going on. You know, someone reached out to my husband about a bullying situation in a cheder, and of course he asked me, you know, Kelly, what would you say about that? And I said, this is so hard. It's this exact situation. The boy is saying he's being bullied. The school is saying he's bullying. When I work with kids who are being bullied, I teach them assertive communication. And I also always say, there are two words that you need to say, stop it. There are two words that can tell you what to do, walk away. Bullies like when people feel upset. They like when they get an emotional reaction. In many schools, what I'm hearing is that the kids feel like they can't speak to their parents or the school because they'll be bullied for speaking up. This is where I feel like sometimes you need to do a federal investigation. You need to ask the teacher to stay in class during recess time, or maybe the principal can be there or somebody can be there, so a child feels like they're not alone. Usually within 2 or 3 days, this can be sorted out. Also, most schools have video cameras at this point, and not all schools are forthcoming with letting you watch them, but they are able to see certain situations. And I've had different things get cleared up when a principal reviewed the video footage. Otherwise, it's really working with the parents. Sometimes you're going to need a therapist to kind of facilitate some family work. But usually, whether it's the bullier that needs to learn skills, whether they're being bullied or bullying, they need to learn interpersonal effectiveness skills. We now know that DBT therapy skills training is research-based and helpful to even children with modifications. And there is a module in there that's called interpersonal effectiveness with wonderful skills. And that's what I would say. You know, I think that sometimes needs a little more professional help if the parents can't get to the bottom of it, like all things. But it's a tough one.
Absolutely. But let's go back to some red flags, like a child that won't eat like usual, or a child that's not toileting properly out of the blue, touching themselves inappropriately. Can you talk about those red flags, please?
Sure. I think the biggest thing here is touching a child who's touching themselves inappropriately. That's a significant red flag. You really, really have to either, you have to just check everywhere the child is. You have to, it's hard to say on a show in 1 minute how to talk to a kid who's touching themselves inappropriately. Many people go with the fact, like, this is not SNEAS, what's going on, which is very gentle. Most kids know it's not SNEAS, or did anyone touch you like that, right? But if you're concerned, reach out and consult with a professional. In terms of not eating, if it's just a day or two, you know, the kid's stressed out, their appetite is down. If it's a week or so, you really want to go to your pediatrician, run some labs. I get concerned about eating disorders because our children are getting diagnosed with eating disorders way more right now. Unfortunately, children are now bullying others for being a little overweight. It is really, I don't know if you've heard this, but I'm starting to see this more in my practice. It's horrible. It's horrible. And we're seeing real eating disorders. So if your child is pushing food away, don't let it go too long, because 3 weeks without nourishment and a child that doesn't weigh a lot, or even that is overweight, could be really, weight can drop fast and become dangerous. It's also a sign, God forbid, of abuse. You know, it's one of those red flags you should never, never ignore. You had one other one. It was, I'm sorry.
Children that aren't toileting properly.
Toileting problems is one of the things, again, that I would never, ever ignore. It is a huge red flag for abuse, or it's a red flag for an unusual medical situation. And I deal with those a lot, which is why I'm bringing it up. You know, not everything is psychological. I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but a lot of mental health problems have physical origins. And I don't think we speak to it enough.
Absolutely. So, Gally, parenting tools workshop.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Do you want to speak about your parenting tools workshops?
Sure. So sometimes I run it live, but right now it's recorded. You can call 929-992-4453, option one, and listen to a 17-minute blurb, a description about each module in the course. It's literally like having me as your therapist, teaching you how to create a positive, happy home and give you the tools to connect with your child, to nurture your child, to challenge your child to grow, to build their self-esteem. We also have what I happily call Gelly's Game Line, which is a lot of TheraPlay game activities. So I literally hand it to you to create. You just have to follow the prompts and just do it. Literally, some people put me on and their kids play the game. And we see within 4 weeks of the 8-week course, we see people really reporting change in their families' lives and having a much happier home, happier kids, more resilient families, and happier mothers. It's a win-win for everybody. Thanks. Yeah, I'm always happy to speak to people about that.
Well, thank you so much for running out of time, and I hope to have you on again soon. I really appreciate you making the time. I know how busy you are. So thank you for making the time tonight. Thank you.
My pleasure. And I'm always here for Mass. You know that. So thank you for everything that you do for the club.
Thank you. And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. If anyone wants to reach Gelly Osofsky, feel free to give us a call. If you didn't catch the number, call us at MASC 718-758-0400, and we will connect you. Tonight's show is in honor of all the ILM. Bring the hostages home now. Thank you. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org and donate so we can continue with all the mask programs. Thank you and have a good night.
Tired of foot pain slowing you down? Hi, I'm Dr. Uriel Levy, a board-certified podiatrist with 33 years of experience, here to get you back on your feet. And great news, Brooklyn. I just opened up a brand new office in Flatbush at the 1911 Avenue L Medical Center of Dr. Kogel. I specialize in orthopedic and medical foot issues, crafting and prescribing custom-made orthotics from between 75 to 100 patients every week. That's a lot of happy feet. For those who have Medicaid managed care, orthopedic shoes would be covered if you are in medical need of custom-made orthotics. Whether it's plantar fasciitis, bunions, or just everyday aches, don't let foot pain hold you back. Also, I practice reflexology, combining my knowledge of feet and lower extremity issues with Eastern medicine. I like to think of myself as a soul healer, not just a podiatrist. Visit my new Flatbush office at 1911 Avenue L, right across from the Women's Mikvah, and around the block from Young Israel of Midwood. Or my Borough Park office at 1453 44th Street, or in Muncie at 4 Horizon Court. Please call me at 917-930-5800. That's 917-930-5800. Or visit dr.soulhealer.com. The easiest way to schedule your appointment is through 917-930-5800. Let your feet bring good news this year. Yeshua's and Nechamas for all of Klal Yisrael. Don't give in to defeat.